which was a Fikadon topic. And if we don't, you know, if there's still something left over, I mean, I'll just maybe do it tomorrow. And tomorrow's regular time, 10:30, and they have this yeshiva thing going on?
Yeah, at 12, there's the
seal. At 12?
Yeah.
Okay, so at least we'll get 10:30 to 12. But it turns out that we have the regular 1:30 problem again. Or not problem, but something got shifted back. Okay, so just very briefly to talk about two or three things to finish up the Shavuos HaPikadon topics. Number one, again, I wish I had more time to go through the sugyas in Bava Kamma, in the end of Bava Kamma. Maybe, you know, we'll have a chance next year a little more, even though we're learning the first part, not the end part. But we did discuss it just a little bit, the dichotomy or the discrepancy, depending on how you understand it, that in the case of Shavuos HaPikadon, typically, there's a Tashlume Keren, your Mishtalim Yerosho, and then there's Asham, the Korba that you bring, especially in the circumstances where you are Moda, it's not just Chiyuv Eidim, unless, again, to Ramban about Metziah, where in certain circumstances you can't deny it anymore if there are, you know, Eidim and so on. So there might be situations like that as well in regard to Asham. But part of Asham is v'hisvada. Part of it is the admission itself, or at least the clear fact that you know and that we know that you know. But that's a second component. And of course, the third component is the chomesh. And what we were trying to emphasize was that it's just interesting to note, and the Rasha should also point this out, as we discovered, that in the Mishnah here in Shavuos, you know, you have discussions of the Asham in particular, and the Karen of the Asham, but you don't really have any mention practically of the Chomesh. And then you have the whole second, you know, treatment of this in Bava Kamma. And I was trying to suggest that, you know, particularly while the Rambam does make mention of the Shua component and the Karen of the Asham, of course, in Hilchos Gezela, and he does make mention of the Chomesh briefly in Hilchos Shavuos, so it's not a complete dichotomy. But clearly, these two venues, both in the Masechtas and in the Rambam's treatment, I think are not coincidental. And then we try to explain on the basis of that Bali Tosis disagree with Tosis and the changing Girsa in the Sugyas in the end of Bava Kamma. And that there's good reason to think that while, and this fit into our much bigger comprehensive picture, that while Shavuos HaPikadon may be against Reb Chaim, may be oriented more towards the Haflah part, the Asham as well, that the Chomesh part is more connected, you know, to the Gzela. Now it's in the bigger question whether or not we're dealing in Shavuos HaPikadon with a different kind of chiyuv shvua or a different method of gezela. With regard to that question, that there, you know, certainly is a lot of overlap. We've shown that, you know, mitchila v'ad sof in the Rambam. That's why the Rambam shittas are not so, obvious. But at the end of the day, I think the patterns very, very strongly suggest that mostly in Hilchos Shavuos, we're dealing with the Shavua part, but again, it's a Shavua part of something which certainly contains a component, you know, not of typical, but also of unusual Gezel. It's actually true that both of these dinim are true, namely that Gezel Yidei Shavua is a different kind of a Gezel, in addition to being a specialized violation of Shavua. And that, again, explains a lot about, you know, the Rambam's overlaps with Shavuos HaEidos and Shavuos HaPikadon back and forth and so on. But at the end of the day, the emphasis is different, and the Chomesh mostly belongs to the other part. So part of that, I just wanted to speak for a couple of minutes, also connects to the relationship between Chomesh and Kefel. So I wanted you to look very quickly at the sugya in, again, the bigger, you know, threshing out all of the Chomesh, Asham, Keren, you know, parts of the sugya require to do the end of you know, both sugyas in Bava Kama. We did some of them a little bit, definitely to get a taste of it and so on. We talked about Yorshim and Shiltos and other things. One sugya also appears in Meruba, and that is a Gemara on Daf Samachay Amud Aleph, where you have three shitos in the Gemara regarding the interface, let's say, between Kefel and Chomesh. So Nathan, what do we have there in that Gemara? You saw it? You didn't get a chance? Asher saw it? Don't saw it? Yitzi? No? Whoa. Nady, saw it? No one saw it. Cool. I thought I'd get, you know, we had months and months to look at this Gemara. Okay. So I know we're a little spotty in terms of whatever, but that was part of the original Gemara Makamos, so it's a fair question. So just very briefly, I won't just elaborate then, but just so you should be aware of the shittos and aware, I think, of what the issue is, it comes in a totally agav urcha way, as one would expect. It comes in because the Gemara establishes the principle, something that we did discuss. We talk about Knas, that the principle of Rav on Samachem and Aleph and Bava Kama, which is Keren Kein Shaganav Kefal Dalad Behe Keshas Hamad B'Din. So in the context of that, the Gemara wants to bring a raya from the following discussion. So this is the discussion. Here. Tani Rab Chanina L'Siyue L'Rav. This again appears also in Kuvav. Right, Balabai Shaton, Tainus Ganav Vipikadon, Vinishba Vahoda, right, Uboedim. So you have basically a confluence of two things. One is Toin Tainus Ganav, which is an amazing case. Again, I don't know if I'll have an opportunity to do any of the Geneva exam and stuff next year, but typically, of course, Geneva requires a Maisa. If anything, Gezela more than Geneva, you know, is much more flexible, and there are all sorts of Gezelas, including Shvuah Sapikada, right? Or Kofer Pikadon even without the Shvuah, and, you know, Shal Shalomidas, and Sholeach Yad. These are all forms of Gezela where you don't have a typical, you know, the Tzura that we come to associate with a typical Mais Gezela, which is Vayigzol Sachanis Miyad HaMitzri. Right, to use, you know, which is invoked in the Gemara in Bava Kama, in, you know, towards the end of Meruba, and which, you know, Rashi quotes in the beginning of Sanhedrin and other places. It's, you know, found favor in the eyes of many Rishonim. That when we speak about classic Gezela, we're talking about Vayigzol Achanis Miyad HaMitzri, namely where you overpower the other fellow, right? There's no stealth and there's no subtlety, you know, just crude, you know, Gezel, basically. And, you know, you take away the guy's object. That's, you know, the classic case of Gezela. Yet, Gezela has other forms, namely, as I said before, Kofer B'Pikadon, which, you know, has its added dimension in Kofer and Nishba L'Sheker, and then, as I said, Shal Shalomidas, Shaleach Yad. These are all cases where you could say, you know, they're more Oshek-oriented in the sense of Behetera, Asaliyade, right? You didn't do a Maisa Gzela, you know, the guy was mafkid in your Rishus. So, you know, you're using it illegally. Sholeach Yad, Shol Shlomidas, Kofer Pikadon, right? But it's Betei Rasaliyad. There's no typical, you know, you didn't bang him on the head and take away his, you know, his watch, you know, etc. Nonetheless, those are forms of Gzela, and the question is why? And again, at some point next year, I hope we'll get a chance to discuss that. That's a very important issue. On the other hand, Geneva is mostly relatively straightforward, even if there are gzela cases without a tsura or without a maisa hotzam or shusabailim. Typically, that is not the case regarding Geneva. And if anything, in Geneva, we're even more focused on the tsura, as reflected by the fact that there are less satellite cases, by the way, as well as certain other requirements. For example, the din of the gunaf mi beis ha'ish v'lo mi beis ha'ganav, according to the Tosis Rid, is something that has, you know, that is a din in Kefel or a din in Geneva, but not a din in Gezela. For example, the Rishonim ask about the relationship between the din of the gunav mibeis ha'ish v'lo mibeis ha'ganav, which again means that, you know, if you steal it not from the owner and not from his shomer, right, but from the ganav himself, that, you know, that somehow is either not ganeva or not a ganeva, which is nechayevas kefa at least. How does that fit in with the discussion in the beginning of the last parak, Hagozel Basra, Hagozel Lamachil, of Bava Kama, Daf Kufidalid, you know, Kufidalid, where they're the din of Gozel Umachil, like one person steals it, and then the other person, you know, eats it or destroys it. So there seems to be some evidence that there is Gzela, Achar Gzela, even if the Gemara Meruba says there's no Gneva, Achar Gneva. This is just a background. This has nothing to do with anything that we're discussing at the moment. Just a background, so you should appreciate this particular convergence. And I won't say much more about it. There's tons to say about it, obviously. So the point is that the Tosas Rid, you know, and I believe Lishitaso, something that he says in Sabachei Amud Aleph, is of the opinion that, you know, again, let me say the other way. Other Rishonim, and certainly a lot of the Poskim, the Ksos and Simon Lavadala discusses this very extensively, and it's a very famous piece about it. It's known as Tavra Vishasya in the Sugya and Samachayim and Aleph. So, a lot of the Shuram say, well, the difference is between Kefel and Karen, not between Gneva and Gazela. Right? There is Gneva Achar Gneva, there's just no Karen, there's just no Kefel Achar Gneva. And that is, has its roots in Yerushalmi. That's a very popular view, and there are other things to say about that as well. However, the Tosas Rid says that the difference is between Gneva and Gazela. And I believe that might be Shita Sarambam as well. But again, it's very consistent with other things, other certain radical things, but radical things that reflect more moderate, sustainable chilukim between Geneva and Gezela. The Rav is the same in the name of Chaim, that Gezela is more oriented towards Hefzad Mamon, and Geneva is more focused on the Tzura of the Maisa Geneva, Potsa Mirshus Habayim. Which is why, all this is just background information, all this, which is why the din of towing Tainas Ganav is a remarkable exception. It's pretty much the only case that we have of a Geneva, right, without that Hotzah Mirshus Habaylim Tzura. Because towing Tainas Ganav is a Pikadon case. It means the Shomer, right, who's supposed to return the object to the Mafkid. Right, his claim is that the object was stealthily taken from his rishus, that it was stolen from him. So the false, you know, exploitation of Geneva for the sake of stealing. You know, if you want to use the tainas Geneva, let's say, to get out of paying your, for your suppression of the chayfetz, right? That's a special chiddush that constitutes an act of Geneva itself. It's the exception to the rule that Geneva requires the Tzura of Otzam Rishus HaBailim, because you're using the Taina of Geneva, use of the Taina of Geneva to steal from him also constitutes the only, let's say, satellite of Geneva. Anyways, the reason this is important is, well, it's important per se, it's important to understand the question of, you know, how much is towing Tainas Ganav a typical Geneva, or the Geneva of a Shomer, or the Geneva of this kind of exploitation, since it is such a rule. Let me make clear again that in Gzela, we have a similar or parallel problem. In other words, since there is Vayigzal Sachanis Biyana Mitzri, so all the parallels, all the satellite Gzela cases, like Kofar Pikadon, and with or without a Shmua, you know, Shaleach Yad, Shal Shomidas, etc., Oshek, if that is not a completely separate category, which is a debate of the Rishonim, whether you also violate, you know, Gezela, overlap the Gemara in Ezo Neshech on Samach Aleph, and the Gemara later on in the end of Bamitzi and Nachkofid Aleph. There are a number of Gemaras that seem to say that, you know, when you're Oshek, Schar, Sachir, you also violate Gezela. With regard to any time where either the Geneva or Gezela is not in its classic form, but isn't, you know, some sort of satellite, you know, application, the question obviously is, you know, how different is it? Is it a full Geneva Gezela? you know, in terms of the Isar, in terms of the other dinim, what about the kinyanim, what about the chiyuvim, etc. So this is like a big, massive question. We had a little bit talking about kofar pikadon. One of the reasons I was trying to explain, like actually, Gonif Ahar Ganif goes Alahar Agzela, right? I was trying to explain that, the Rambam's view, or based on how do you read the Mishnayos and the Gemara, about, fine, there's no Kivin Shehigid, Shuvei Nechozer or Magid problem in Pikadon, and therefore you can be chayiv multiple times as opposed to Shuas Eidos, right, Bebezdin. But what about the din of Ein Goza Lachar Agazel and Gzei Lachar Gzela? So part of it rests on the question whether there is such a din of Ein Gzei Lachar Gzela, or there's only a din of Ein Gneva Achar Gneva, which we just touched upon. I believe I mentioned Tosis Rinnan as well. But part of it, also depends on how you look at, Kofar B'Pikadon, and if there's a difference between Kofar B'Pikadon and Kofar B'Pikadon Ayidei Shvuah Sheker. In terms of, what aspects of, again, I think I mentioned that the Rambam in Perek Gimel Hilchos Gzela says Hareza Gazlan, Zeh Gezel, or Chayiv Ba'unsin, or Chayiv Mishum Gzela, as opposed to Izliya Gazlan Gomor, having all of the dinim, and whether or not the Shvuah Sheker is one of the things that, pushes that, over the top, to being a full gazela. That's the question. What is there after you have kofar b'pikadon, kofar b'pikadon ayadei shuas sheker from a gezel point of view? Okay, so this is all a question, and you have the parallel with regard to toin tainas ganav in the context of geneva, and you have the same kind of again. You might have a different position, but you have a parallel question, namely, how typical is this? How, is this a full geneva in all respects? Or is it a special, halacha of toin tanas ganav? Maybe it doesn't really belong, again, using Rambam, terms, does it really belong in Hilchos Geneva at all, which is where the Rambam puts it, admittedly. But in theory, couldn't he might have been able to put it in, Hilchos Shomrim, Chiros, Hilchos She'ela, etc. Because maybe it's mostly same question to ask by Shaleach Yad, by Kofar Pikadon, right, etc. This is a Geneva for it's the background is different, and then it's a given that background, this becomes a full Geneva, or it's always a function of its background. Namely, for a Shomer, this is Geneva. For a Shomer, Kofar Pikadon is a Gezela. And so these are the questions. Anyways, for our purposes, the case of Toin Tanas Ganav allows for a convergence between Geneva and the Gezela of a Shvuah Sheker. So it's the only time you can ever have a case where you have seemingly, a potential He of Kefel, and at the same time, right, a Asham and a Chomesh. So, again, the reason that it's in this Gemara here, and also in Meruba, is they're trying to figure out, can you ever have the same value of Chomesh and Kefel? Chomesh is a fifth, right? Kefel is double, right? So obviously Chomesh and Kefel are not the same. So, the point is though, if you're trying to figure out Karen Kane Shaganav, Kefal Dal Behe Kashasa Madabedin, like what happens if, all of a sudden the price plummets or the price, goes through the roof, so then a Chomesh and a Kefal could end up, being the same. Okay. Anyway, that's the context. That's irrelevant to us. But what the real issue is, what effect, if anything, does all this have? So one could have thought, one would have thought, if not for the Zeres HaKasuv's, here, that Hailuchu Dekoi, V'Hailuchu Dekoi. Like, why should it have any impact? One would think, if you are Taina Toin, Taina's Ganav, the Pikadon, and then you were Nishba L'Sheker, and then you were Mode, so what you did was a Geneva with a Chiyuv Kefel, right? And at the same time, you did a Shuas HaPikadon, which should be mechayev you a keren, an asham, and a chomesh. And you know, as far as it relates, what relationship? You did both, and you should be chayev both. End of story. However, the Gemara does not think that that is correct. So the Gemara quotes three shitos here. One is the sheet of Rabbi Yaakov, which says, again, I'll get back to reading the Gemara. Tanu Rab Chananya v'siyuei derav, v'siyuei lerav, v'alabai shaton tainis ganat pepikadon, v'nishba v'hoda, that's what happened here, exactly what I just described. I just was giving, I guess, the lumdisha background, in addition to the factual background, to what some of the issues are. So the Balabayas made the claim, the Balabayas here is the shomer, he made the claim, toin tanis ganav, and the pikadon, and then in addition, he was nishba, and hoda, right? Uba'u edim, and edim came as well, right? So im ad shelo bo edim hoda, meaning, if he was moda biknas, the capal part, before ba'u edim, so then, mishalem karen, the chomesh, the asha. Okay, that's a no-brainer, apparently. Meaning, what one could have thought, that the second that he is nishba, right, that it's no longer, that somehow that's mafkia, or mitchare, and therefore mafkia, meaning it competes, and therefore it drives away the geneva part. But that's not true. As if there is lemaisa, no mechayiv of kefel, right, even though there is a geneva, then the chiyuv of gezela is going, the full chiyuv of shuas apikadon will certainly apply. However, im yishabo edim hoda, if there is knas, in other words, so then Rabbi Yaakov was of the opinion that mishalim tashlume kefal v'asham v'chomsho ololo bikvelo, divir Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov was of the opinion that chomsho ololo bikvelo. That's a very remarkable halacha. That's very mechudash. Like, why should that be at all? And then there's a debate what it means. So Rashi's view, let me tell you the other two days first. So that's Rabbi Yaakov's view. Rabbi Yaakov says that chomsho olalo bikfelo. In other words, you don't pay chomesh and kefel separately, even though the mechayim of one is toin tanis ganav, and the mechayim of the other is the shuas sheker bi'achakach hoda, right? Even though they seem to be two different mechayim, nonetheless, you don't have to pay them both. Chomsho olo bikfelo. Okay, that's Rabbi Yaakov. Chachamim omrim, paskalik chachamim, that berosho the chamishiso. This is the diuk in the pasuk in Vayikra. Right, berosho v'chamishiso. And as the pasuk speaks about berosho, and then it mentions the chiyuv chomesh. Berosho, of course, is the keren. So the idea is that mamon hamishtalim berosh mosif chomesh. Momon she'en mishtalim barosh, ein mosif chomesh. In other words, whenever there is kefel, right, there is no chomesh. Not saying that chomsho ola bekvelo, we're saying that chomesh is mufka, right, whenever there is something beyond keren. And that's the second sheet. That's the sheet of Chachamim. We paskin like that. And then you have the third shita. That's Rav Shimba Yochai, who says, Ein chomesh v'ashem mishtalem b'mokom sheyesh kefel. That not only is the chomesh crowded out by the chiyuv kefel, but even the asham is. Okay. And then the Gemara goes on to apply to the question of the estimation and so on. Okay. In addition to that, and to start with this, and just spend two more minutes on it, there's an interesting machlokas between Rashi and Tosis on this. Some other Rishonim, but we'll leave it at this, especially since we haven't really seen the broader sukkah. So Rashi is of the opinion that chomsho olah bekvelo is only if they coincide to the exact amount. In other words, the chomish and the kefel are identical in the sum. Shari chomish lebaylim hu, vuhu shakal, v'alkorcha chod Rabbi Yaakov b'sheshavin ki echad. A chomish v'akefel, kamayri. Diyav a kfela Tvei Michumsha, let's say the Kefil is worth more than the Chomesh, right? Lav Chumsha Habe. V'lo Miftale, right? Ad Mishalem Chomesh. The Chomesh Kapara Dishvuahu. Wow. That's Rashi. Rashi basically says that the only time that Chomsho is Olalo L'Kvelo is if they are identical. But if the Kefel is more than the Chomesh, then you have to pay separately the Chomesh and the Kefel. Because you can no longer label, I guess, the payment a payment of Chomesh, since it's more than the Chomesh. And that point is disputed by the Bali Tosis, although some of them admit that Rashi's girsa, that the way it sounds in the Gemara sounds that way. The Fima Shapir Shakuntris, the Chom Sha'olah Bekfelo, Shemishalim is a Kefel of Nifter Bekach, Menachom is Koshek Tzatz Ma Bekach, Ikfela Arba Bekumsha. It doesn't work so well in the Gemara. Miu Kuntris Pirish to Lace Kapara Bekomesh, Kivin Shein Nikar, Muv Lamatoka Kefel. The Avim Farish, the Chum Sha'olalo, Bekvelo, Shemishalim is a Chomesh, the Olalo Le Kefel, Avanicha. Avalosham Bekvelo Lamashmahi, Tosefthanami Garcina Bekom Sha'olalo, Mitoch Kvelo, Verivom Farish, Daloshan Abraiso Kaparech, the Mashma, the Chum Sha'ola, Bekol Kvelo. But, in fact, it's true even if it doesn't. In other words, it's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosis, whether or not this chiddush of Rashi, which is that chom shalom bekvelo applies only when they're the exact amount, is true, or all we mean to say is that you don't have to pay the chomesh and the kefel, but you pay, but the way Tosis understands it, you pay the higher sum of the two, and whatever you pay counts for both. Okay. So certainly, according to Rashi, one thing emerges very clearly, and that is that this chomesh is not a typical payment. Right? It is, something which there really are two assumptions in Rashi. One is that this isn't a payment, this is a kind of a kapara. It's not like a knas. Well, we know it's not a real knas because there's no dinamot of a knas pator in chomesh. In that sense, remind us of certain Bava Kamma issues, which we'll discuss next year, Kufra Kapara, Kufra Mamona. Kapara is not a Knas, right? Mamon is Mamon Lechud, Knas Lechud, and Kapara Lechud. So, Rashi says explicitly that a Chobish is a Kapara. But the other assumption in Rashi is that to operate as a Kapara, it has to be Nikar Ubolet and not Muvla. It has to be objectively discernible based on the amount that this is what it's for. And basically Rashi is assuming two opposite things. Right? Number one, that if it's Muvla, in the Kefel, or vice versa, that kind of detracts from the status as Kapara. He's also assuming that it is considered nikar muvla, even though it's also kefel. So it's not the stira to being kefel, it's the, according to Rashi, it seems to be the sum itself, the exact sum of chomesh, the nikar sum of chomesh is what's necessary, right? Even if it shares that, it doesn't have to be exclusively midin that. Okay. But all of this works better, obviously, if we don't see chomesh as a din in the gzela, but as a din in the kapara, and frankly works better if it's a din in the kapara for the shavua in particular. The question is, the Bali Tosis who disagree, what do they think? So it could be that they still agree in principle with Rashi, but they might be saying that just like, and I don't know if they need even the just like, they either might agree that it's more bolate and more obvious, even when it's the right amount, even when it's being shared with Kefel, or they might even say just as, in other words, If you really needed something which is, you know, a bolet, a nikar, not a mubla, then frankly, you know, you shouldn't have a din of olelo either. Right. It's hard to know whether there would be maskim on that first point. But what they certainly may argue with is that in the end of the day, as long as there's a chomesh in there, just like it doesn't matter, you know, or even if you could make the chiluk, you know, between the exact amount, so too, if the kefil is worth more than the chomesh, it doesn't mean there isn't also a chomesh, and it accomplishes the kapara. You don't need nikaru bolet, in other words, even as a sum, never mind as a standalone chiyuv, right, to accomplish this goal. Right. I guess, in theory, if you were trying to, you know, it would be interesting to ask, and they don't flesh it out so clearly, but some of the other Rishonim do, and that is, like, if the kefel is worth more than the chomish, it's one thing. What if the chomish is worth more, you know, than the kefel? Right, is that going to be an issue? So that's one possibility, and that is that, you know, basically Tosis agrees on the yesod of Rashi, that this is a kapara. They just think that, you know, it's as long as it's in there, then it's a kapara. Or, again, everybody agrees it's some sort of kapara. But maybe they also suggest, think, that according to Rabbi Yaakov, at least, the chomesh is a chiyuv gezeila. And it's, you know, it's not something that is completely separate from the gezeila. So you have a chiyuv geneva and you have a chiyuv gezeila. The chiyuv geneva triggers an additional kefal payment. The chiyuv gezeila triggers an additional chomesh. Again, knas is different than kofar, right? But both of them are connected, you know, not extraneously, but intrinsically to the geneva itself. So the chiddush is, right, that you don't have to pay them separately, because they're both, you know, add-ons, you know, to the core. It's a geneva add-on, in this case, a particular gezela add-on, like to the core chiv keren. But in the end of the day, you know, they're dinim of Hilchos gezela, and, you know, why, you know, why should you require the exact amount, right? You don't get away with the exact amount, you know, just because it's, you know, one way or another. So that's an interesting argument between them. Turning our attention for the moment, for another minute, just to the Chachamim. So the Chachamim's view is that there's no Chomesh whenever there is Geneva, essentially. So is that a din in the relationship between the kefel and the chomesh? Again, you don't have chomesh and kefel at the same time, and then for some reason, you know, whenever there's kefel, there's no chomesh, which is itself an interesting phenomenon. Maybe it's a din in knas and kapara, for all we know. Or should we take more literally the language of the limud? In other words, is the language of the milud just a gili milsa, or is it a mechayin? Meaning, the language of the limud here, according to the Chachamim, is berosha v'chamishiso, momon ha-mishtalim berosh mosif chomesh, momon she'en mishtalim berosh, ein mosif chomesh. So, by that, we certainly mean that there's kefel, but there's also keren. Right. So, is the Gemara also, for the Chachamim, who would paskin like, suggesting that whenever there is geneva, right, that's not called Momen HaMishtalim Berosh anymore, meaning that the Kefel addition, right, also redefines the Keren. Therefore, it's no longer Keren, and therefore, it's not subject. No, it's not a din in the relationship between, you know, Knas and Kofar, or even Kefel and Chomesh, right, as much as it is a din in, you know, redefining you know, Karen of Geneva. The fact that there's Karen plus, right, is something which allows Geneva to eclipse the Gezela here. It comes like a Kable Bedraba Mine, you know, type of halacha. And that, of course, depends also on how we look at the relationship between Mammon and Knossos, but more particularly how we look at the Knas of Kefa. So when we talked a little bit, and we'll talk much more about this next year, but we were talking about, you know, Shavuos Eidos B'Knossos, and the question about, you know, whether Knas has a separate shame, whether, you know, Bezdin is the Mechayim. We were talking about all those issues, which we'll have to revisit. So I mentioned that there's also good reason to be Mechalek between different types of Knossos, for various reasons. Right? And we'll talk about, say, Short Tam next year a lot, for sure. But we talked about, you know, Kefel is one of the issues. Because Kefel, even Kefel compared to, let's say, Dalet Behei, which is interesting. Because Kefel, right, on the one hand, you know, seems like the most extraneous and superfluous and therefore distinct from the Mechayim of the Karen, in as much as it's, you know, a whole different, you know, sum. So it's not like, oh, just like a more penalized Karen, you know, it's double. So, you know, it's hard to say that it's part of it. Just like some Rishonim think that once you get to, you know, something that's half or double, you know, you don't need the regular din of onah, even if called ain't onah ba'abadim, ain't onah b'karkos, ain't onah b'shtaros. Some of them say, yeah, but not when it's double, because double is just, you know, not part anymore of the, you know, it's not like, oh, a little more expensive, a little less expensive. It's like a different Mekayev, obviously. So there's a good reason to think that Kefal is extraneous. On the other hand, the fact that that's the number, and that there's no separate trigger action, unlike, let's say, Dalet Behei, right, where you have a Tvicha and Mechira. That's why the Rishonim, we saw it, I think, very quickly. We looked at the Rush there. Right, the Rush says, Kefal, Dalet Behei, Kishas, Amada Bedin, and the Gemara in Samachay and Bavakama, that, you know, the Kefal, we really mean it, Bishas, Amada Bedin. The Dalet Behei, we really mean Bishas, Tvicha and Mechira. There's a huge debate in the Rishonim. Tosefta, different Girsos, again in Bava Kama, not for now, but in Meruba. So, part I'm trying to make is that Kefel, there's, you know, on the one hand, reason to think it's more extraneous, and on the other hand, the good argument could be made that it is, you know, part of the, or it's triggered by the Maisa Geneva. But then to say that the Kefel is, in other words, you know, what you did here, and since you did it stealthily, so the Maisa also is important, you know, is you, of course, have to pay back what you took, the quid pro quo, but it's much more than that because of the way that you took it, and therefore there's a, you know, a boomerang effect as well. You have to suffer what you wanted to impose upon him. You know, that's part, so again, if that isn't extraneous, you know, and it's more connected to the Geneva, so the idea that the whole Karen is not this, you know, Mishtalin Merosh, you know, and that this is a way of saying that, you know, you can't have Geneva and Gezela, you know, together, and therefore you can't have the satellites. Normally it doesn't matter because there's Karen for both. Of course, it's double jeopardy. You're not going to pay. No one thinks if you do Geneva and Gezela on the same money, you know, that you're going to pay once for Geneva and once for Gezela. Right? You can only even talk about the extras if you're talking about the Chomesh or the Asham or the Kefel, but of course not on the Karen part itself. So, but the question is, you know, when you do an act of both Geneva and Gezela at the same time, this is really what I'm raising, you know, and like in a case like this where you have the confluence or the convergence, right, you know, you have a toin tainus gun of, you know, the hoda bishvua, the hoda shenishbala sheker. So then the question is, you know, you pay Karen. You know, the Karen part is for both. You're not going to pay it twice, but it's for both. Right? Or is it for one and not for the other? Right? Is it for one and not for the other? We'll talk about this again, beginning of Bava Kama. You know, why are Chayiv once for an Av and a Tolda? You know, that's a debate in the Rishonim there in Bava Kama, the base of all places. You know, you do an Av and a Tolda together. You're Chayiv because of the overlap, or you're Chayiv for the Av, and therefore you're Pater on the Tolda. So what happens when you're Gonev and Gozel at the same time? Right? You certainly aren't going to pay more than one Karen, but are you paying Karen for both? For each, for both? Or are you paying Karen, you know, Dafka for one, and then for which one? Right? So here, when we say, you know, that it's not considered to be Mishtale Merosh. What's that Mishtale Merosh? I mean, the Karen is Mishtale Merosh, isn't it? Or maybe not. A certain perspective on Gneva and Kefel And then on the relationship between Gneva and Gezela, might be this is not, you know, Momen HaMishtal HaMirosh anymore. Right? And therefore, there is no Chomesh at all. There's no, and according to the other view of the Gemara, there's no Chomesh and there's no Asham. Right? So again, these are Dinim in the relationship between Kefel and Asham and Chomesh, which is fascinating in its own right. Or they really are dinim that go to the core of the gezela itself. But part of that may depend on whether we look at asham, maybe, again, maybe not, whether we look at the asham and the chomesh as dinim in the gezela, or we look at them as mechaibim of the shvuah sheker. Okay, so that's what I wanted to say about this issue. There's much more to say about it, but at least these are the Roshei Prakim of what we should be thinking about in this, both for Rabbi Yaakov and for the other 2 days in the Gemara, about the interesting, and again, I just repeat what I said at the outset, which is, without any of these limudim, one would have just said that you're not going to pay double keren, but pay the chomesh, pay the asham, and pay the kefa. And that we don't do for one reason or another. Then for Rabbi Yaakov you have Rashi and Tosis and more, and then for the Chachamim it's interesting to ask this question about the Limud and so on. Was a question? Yeah.
Yeah. The idea of Chas Rachmana, can that also answer as to why meaning certain aspects?
I mean, we have Chas Rachmana where the Torah says it. You know.
Right,
I mean, where the Gemara says it.
I remember. I don't know if it's like directly there, but.
I mean, you have Chas Rachmana and things like Tam and so on. Well, we'll talk about it next year.
Okay.
But, you want to be careful about it. So it doesn't sound here. I mean, that might be a, Tam and Mitzvos underlying it, possible. But it doesn't explain certain things at all. I mean, for example, it doesn't explain Rashi. To say, you don't have to pay, I'm not sure if you even need Chas Rachmana. They can say, you don't have to overdo it. He's getting his Karen. And there are these two extra things, and you don't need both of them. Maybe it's Chas Rachmana, maybe it's not. But again, then you would never, ever, say that has to be the exact amount, because the Chas Rachmana is not, affected ki huzeh, but if it happens to be, $43.16, but if it's $43.17 or 15 cents, that surely, unless you say, as long as we can get, the nikar part, we'll do the Chas Rachmana part, but we still need the Negro. I think it's somebody to say that. But, we'll talk about it. But you have to be a little, careful about it. Good. So that's... Oh, wow. It's almost done. Okay. So let me go quickly to the... Sorry, that took longer. So then the next thing we wanted to discuss was the Shushan issue. Correct? Not done? So what's the background of that?
We have one thing in the Bavli and also the
Bavli. Yeah. So in the Bavli itself, we've talked about this... before, but let's just get this back to what is the Bavli? How does the Bavli bring it in?
Yeah.
It's for Sabikadam, right? So the question is, what happens if you're Moda Le'echad and you're Kofer Lasheni? Let's say there are two people you owe money to, right? That's the case, and you deny one person completely, and you admit that you owe it to the other guy. Ah, so what happens there? So what does the Gemara seem to say? Potter. So that seems pretty remarkable, actually. So the Meiri had mitigated it somewhat, if we recall, right? That it's a situation where the person who was the, who was lucky enough that the guy was moded to him, right? He admits that he had a shudda, right? Presumably, the idea being that at the end of the day, there's some sort of, either that makes it to mitzuraf, more to, because in the end of the day, he's going to pay him back. He can't keep presumably that money, and that was also a little mechudash because you might say im kvar az kvar, namely, if this is really really true. That Murashok, we would have thought that he has to give the money to the right person, not just because the other person happens to admit it. Right? From his point of view, he's still a thief and a liar. Right? The fact that it's all going to get straightened out, you know, in some sort of extraneous way may be insufficient. So the Mir is mechudash. The Rambam is even more mechudash, because, again, he doesn't make this qualification at all. It sounds in the Rambam, kipashtus, that we're talking about a situation doesn't matter. In other words, he denies A, and he's moda to B, and, you know, maybe A is claiming that he still owes half, and maybe B is saying that, yok, thank you very much. Yes, that's the way it was. Right? So that's even more mechudash. And what you need to say in those circumstances is that, you know, kofer bepikadon, he's not being marbiach, meaning the kofer, the gazlan, you know, he's not walking away with any benefits here, because he's paying the full $100 that he owes. You know, on the other hand, you know, the one of the shutfim is completely being taken advantage of. So that's an interesting test case again. You know, is that called kfiras mamon bialma? I mean, it's not legabe the shutaf if it matters, if the diuk is correct, then he's not holding like the miri, but it isn't kfiras mamon from the perspective of the Nishba Lasheker, because in his Shvu Lasheker, he's not getting out of any payments. So he's not a gazlan, but there's a kind of a nigzal out there. Can there be a nigzal without a gazlan through kofar b'pikadon v'nishba l'sheker? That seems like a very fascinating question. And if we're right about that, it's another notch in the Rambam theory that, you know, shvuas b'pikadon is shvuah oriented, and not hefzed oriented. Maybe. But okay. Anyways, that is one aspect of it. Then there are two. Then the Yerushalmi comes along, and there are two things to talk about, right? In the Yerushalmi, right? What are the two, Natan?
The case where it says that if you're kofer to one of the shutfim,
if you're kofer to one of the shutfim, correct?
One of the shutfim, then also the,
which is parallel to what we've been discussing, kind of.
And
then the other way.
Yeah.
Shnayim shalavu. What if they're kofar? Correct? Those are the two cases. So what I want to do this for a couple of minutes, I have to leave it with this, is talk about these two cases quickly. Okay. So let's start with the one that is more parallel to the Babli. And that is, right, you have two mafkidim, or two malves. And let's say you have only one loveh, or one shomer. So what happens? He is kofer to one of them, and not to the other. That's the case? Yeah? Okay, so what's the halakha? So there's a major, major debate among the Rishonim in understanding this Yerushalmi. Okay, dahainu?
Why is it that?
What happens here? Is it basically the Yerushalmi seems to say that if you're that, you know, ein shomin, you know, le'echad, basically, in other words, if the lova or the shomer is makhish to one of the shutfim, right, then he is potter, correct? And the reason for that is So this is where it gets a little bit tricky, right? You have two, So what is Ramban's view?
He thinks you don't have rishus to be toveya by yourself.
Correct. The Ramban takes the view in this reading, this Yerushalmi, that neither shutav can be toveya on his own, and therefore kfira to any shutav is not mechayev korban shuas apikata. Correct? It assumes a little bit, number one, that there is a din of tviya in Shavuos HaPikadon, which we noted sounds that way in the Rambam as well, both in terms of his view of Harsha and that stalking case, S-T-A-L-K-I-N-G, stalking, you know, case. We noted that according to the Rambam, but that, I think, is certainly part of his, you know, this back and forth, this dialectic going on with Shavuos HaEdus, where it's, you know, they're the same but they're different. but it's always a subtle difference. Okay, but it isn't obvious in general that in Shvus HaPikadon there's ever really a din of Tavia. Anyway, the Ramban is of the opinion that what this Yerushalmi really means is that each Shutev does not have the right to be Toveya at all. And therefore, if they are Toveya, then, and the fellow lies to them, right, then that constitutes Kviras Dvarim Bialma. It's not Kviras Mama, because they don't really have the right to collect on their own. Oh. That is, that's the Ramban. And the Ritva, for example, argues and says, not true.
Already from the Rabbi Abba, right?
Well, there's actually two different points of argument, right?
Yeah, so that. Because
the Rabbi Avad and the Rajba and the Tshuva yeah. disagree with the Ramban, and the Ritva disagrees with the Ramban.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So it's because even when the first your kofar to the first person, you still have the ability to pay the entire kofar to the second one.
Oh.
So you're not really kofar.
That is the view of the Rabbi Avad and the Rajba. Correct? So they say basically learn the Yerushalmi the exact opposite of the Ramban. That's for the Ramban, if you're kofer to the first guy, the reason that there's no chiv karban shvus ha'pikadon is because you don't have any obligation to him. For the Rabbi Abad and for the Rajba, it's exactly the opposite. You, each of the shutfim has the right to completely collect this debt. Correct? And therefore, ignoring the first guy or lying to the first guy is not a problem until you've also lied to the second guy, because he's equally capable of receiving the full amount. The Ritva has the middle shita, and the namely kol echad can be tovei achelko, which we'll get back to in a second. Like the art. So basically, there are three shitos here. The Ramban is basically saying that. And again, this has to be tested on two levels. On the level of Shvus HaPikadon, but you know, also on the level of Shutfus. On the Shutfus level, it seems like this is an example where the Ramban is saying that Shutfim are only the unit, or only when you have the corporate, only when you have them together, right, do they have the foundation to be Toveya anything. Right. Any individual shutaf, basically, you know, is bereft of rights. And the Rabbi Avad and the Rajba, obviously a very critical argument, say exactly the opposite. When you have shutfim, so each shutaf is entitled to the whole. Not that mi bein shnehem, let's say, right, only ayuchayiv the whole. And the Ritva is taking the middle view, which is that Kol Shutav has the right to be Toveya Chelka. So this is a great little, you know, vignette. You have to, there are tons of these all over the place. You have to really, you know, if Ellie was here, I would talk about spreadsheets, but he's not here. But you have to, like, you know, check this out all over Shas, you know, all over the Halacha. What is the status of Shutfim? Shutfim are, you know, a collective, and absent, you know, the full complement, there's nothing. Or, Shutfus is a collective, then each partner, right, has everything, except that Lemaisa, if everybody, each partner has everything, then on a secondary level, obviously, you know, if each one has 100% of the whole, you know, and the pie just doesn't multiply. So, you know, in fact, you know, they divide things up according to Chalakim. But really, really, in principle, everybody, you know, is a full owner. Or the more obvious view, which is that Shutfus is just a convenience, right? Or maybe has Chiyuvim, maybe there's some Schuyos, maybe it's a full convenience. But at least vis-a-vis the basic core shares, every Shutuf, you know, has a bailus gemura on a chetzi, and you know, some sort of a secondary status vis-a-vis the rest of it. So these are three deos here. Now, of course, the wild card is applying it, you know, to different things. Because number one, these are not mutually exclusive ideas. The idea that, you know, every shutat has some connection to the whole, and then that, you know, all shutfim are somehow, you know, as part of the corporate entity, you know, can dependent upon each other, and that, especially since Lamaisa, it's going to get broken up in a certain way, they have a stronger, you know, connection to a certain percentage. These, again, in some views, these are all mutually exclusive. These are different, certainly different perspectives of shutfis in the extreme. And you might say that they're mutually exclusive, but you don't necessarily have to. It could be that these are true in different ways, and then you have to figure out which halachos depend on which things. Moreover, we'll get back to that in a second, but you also might be mechalek between, you know, the power side of shutfis and the, you know, obligated, you know, part of shutfis, meaning the difference between mafkidim and the shomrim, between the malvin and the lavin. Also may possibly distinguish between the kind of transaction, you know, that we're talking about, shomrim or lova, orev or lova. You know, there are many areas where shutfus, you know, is an issue. So again, the tendency is to think, I mean, to start off by thinking, that these three perspectives, you know, corporate, indivisible ownership, so that there is no individual, corporate, individual ownership, so that each individual, you know, owns the whole, or chatzi-chatzi, that they're mutually exclusive. That's the first assumption that you would make. And then, you know, together with that, that whenever you think about shutfus, you should think about shutfus across the board. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about the, you know, the owner side or the obligated side. And it also doesn't matter we're talking about, you know, this kind of, you know, owner, right? Or that kind of an owner, you know. Basically, it's all the same. All shutfus is the same. That's how we initially think of things. And it, in terms of patterns, it very well could be true. It's a default, proper way to look at things. Then, in navigating evidence, or just in thinking about some of the nuances of some of the cases, it might occur to us that, you know, this is not true. Number one, that there may be different dimensions of shutfas, that they may not be completely mutually exclusive, although that doesn't mean that they all exist equally at the same time. Maybe there are different levels. And number two, that you might be mechalek either between the sides, in other words, the toveya and the mitva, we'll call it, you know, or between the different types of transactions, some of which lend themselves more to a more practical, efficient notion of shutfas, you know, or to a more maximal or minimal one, as opposed to other cases. And I'll explain what I mean just in a couple of examples now. But obviously, this is a big, big, massive topic. And this is the issue of corporations and, you know, which in halacha, which I don't think is a simple as people, you know, make it out to be, you know, based on a little evidence here or there, based on the perspective that I'm trying to develop right now. Oh. So, that we'll get back to in just a second. The other part, of course, is the Shuas HaPikadon part, adding to, you know, to our list. And that is, you know, what constitutes Kfiras Dvarim, you know, Bial? What about, for example, a situation in particular that the Ravi Abad and the Rajba are dealing with. Namely, let's say each shutef has the right to collect the whole, not just even the half. Right? However, you know, in the end of the day, that can work, you know, in two different ways from a certain, you know, perspective. Namely, you know, you denied this guy his rights. Right? But, on the other hand, you know, the other guy has equal full rights too. Therefore, you haven't denied all the people with rights with regard to any part of this claim, you know, by denying the first one. So that's an interesting case. I don't know whether I'm getting too fancy and whatever with this, but I would just say that maybe the Ramban, of all people, you know, didn't find palatable the explanation of the Rajba, And maybe the Rajba found it very palatable. Although, again, this is about Shvus HaPinkon. No, I shouldn't say that. About Shvus HaPinkon and the Rajma, actually, it's a little bit of a problem. I'll say it for the Ramban. In other words, what we saw in the Ramban is that both Shvus HaEdus and Shvus HaPinkon, you know, that he has a very low threshold to be considered Kfiras Mamon as opposed to Kfiras Dvarim Yalma. That's for the Ramban, unlike for the Rajba, like Kofar HaPinkon Sheyesh Olavedim, right? In theory, and you know, the Harsha case to explain the tshuva, the rif, right? Namely, that we're talking about a case where we don't know at the time whether there's going to be a kfira or not, like, you know, in Kosin Urchasa Metalpun de Kafre. So we didn't find out yet, you know, but we want to, you know, therefore write the, you know, we write a Harsha, and the Mursha actually confronts the, you know, the Edim before we even know whether the, you know, whether the other Baldin is denying the claim or not. Right? So as we noted, the Rajba leaves that out because he thinks, come on, that's not, you know, that's not Kfiras Mamon, that's Kfiras Dvarim Bialma. And the Ramban obviously thinks that it is Kfiras Dvarim, and I thought that that was totally Lishitaso in a few of the other cases, Gorim de Gorim, and Skudjusin de Garbi, again, in contrast with the Rajba. So I think that the Ramban here probably argues on two points. Number one, he doesn't think it's true that every Shutaf has the right to demand collection. Maybe the two Shutfim together only can demand collection. And in addition to that, he might be saying, if it were true, right, that everyone has the right to demand, then the denial of the first would constitute kfiras mamon, even though there is a possibility of the second guy being gove. Right? And maybe that's gufa, where some of the other Rishonim disagree. Again, the Raj was a little touchy because he thinks that generally, how you define kfiras dvarim and kfiras mamon is different between shvus edus and shvus hapikadon. These are shvus hapikadon cases. I don't think it's a steer in the Rajba, but I just don't think that part of it is consistent with the Rajba. But I do think it's consistent with Rambam. Okay, clear? Yeah. So now let's get back to the other part just for a second to at least illustrate. It's a Shas topic. I'd love to do it more fully one time, but we just need to, I need to finish. So the Shnayim Shalavu part, meaning so far we talked about two Malvin, or two Mafkidim, right? Two Balabayases, do they have to come together to force payment of anything? Or each one can demand a half? Or each one can demand the whole thing? Right? And then we also just talked about, you know, the fallout in terms of Shvus HaPinkon. Fine. The Yerushalmi has the other side of it too. Correct? Natan, what you were saying? We'll say Shnei Shutfin Lovin.
One person does not pay for two
Shutfin. Yeah, exactly. Let's say you have two Shutfim who are the Shomrim. Right, or two Shutfim who are loving. So what happens then? Ah, so the Yerushalmi has this terrific line where they say, well, Shnei Lavin are Achroin Varvoin Zelazel. So here you have a major, major machlokas on Rishonim, the Ramban and the Rush, and the Ran quotes it here, the Ran Nimuk Yosef quotes it in Bambitzia. Essentially, what's the issue? What's the argument? It's you saw this? No? Anybody? Young? Yeah?
When is this true?
What is the nature of what this is? When is it true, and what's the nature of it, and what's the implications of it? So, for example, just very quickly, what do we mean? We say Shnei Lavin are Arvoyin Zeh LaZeh. Does that mean that you can choose to collect from whichever one you want? The whole amount? Like, let's say the $100 loan between, you give two people $100. They want to start a business, so you're giving them a shutfin, you're giving them $100. So Yerushalmi does say that even if they don't explicitly, you know, establish arvus, that there are voin bar voin bar, there are voin zelaze. Great, terrific, right? Does that mean that lechatchila you can collect $100 from each one of them? Not both, from either one of them, or does it mean that lechatchila you have to go and ask for 50 from each, and then if they can't pay, then you know, even though they didn't sign anything, they weren't mischayev themselves as the fact that they were mishtatef in the halva, right, constitutes an implicit arvus. So that is a major debate between the Rishonim. Like the Rush and Bava Metzia seem to say, we take this Rishonim very literally, and you can collect from whoever you want. And the Ramban disagrees and says, not true. It's a din of arvus. So this is very connected to not only our sugya here, but to the two sugyas of Bava Metzia. Who got a chance to see the two sugyas of Bava Metzia? Asher Yisad? No? Anybody?
The way that the Rosh quotes the Ramban here, it sounds like he's saying that the Ramban agrees with him that you can collect from anyone.
That you can collect? Yeah, the Ramban doesn't. Right.
From the Rosh and Shuiz.
From the Rosh and Shuiz. Headline?
He quotes it as the Ramban versus the Rav Yah. Yeah. Oh. Rav Yah thinks within an Argus. Then he says, Aval if you do a Ramban, you can grab me Misha Yirtan.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe in Bava Metzia it's different or not? Am I just mixing them up? How does he have it above Metzia? Is it a different way? One second. Okay, it could be I'm just mixing up who says what. One second.
I mean, the Ramban quotes it both ways here, and I think in above Metzia he says it.
How does he have it? Here he has both ways?
Here he says first that you can go from totally from one of them, and then he says, Yeshim Shehora.
And then what do you say in the end?
Then he says for that one, the parka satya of the parakamaki.
Oh yeah, oh okay. Okay. We have the two datas basically. The Rabbana's two datas basically. That's really what I'm mostly interested in. So what's a sugya and a mafkid? Just interesting to know, there are two sugyas and a mafkid, right? What are the two sugyas and a mafkid? What's a sugya and a mafkid that he's talking about? Natan? Kefel. Same question that we're talking about. We talked about it for a different reason. We were back in our Shavuos HaDayanim shiur, right? We were talking about Tischaibus and I was suggesting again that another way to navigate the evidence is that it depends on, how what you're, committing to, essentially, right? So we're talking about how difficult is it for someone to say Hareini Mishalem, and then to be Kona the Kefel, as a result. Correct? So the Gemara in Bava Metzia, I'm going to have to stop, so this may all take a couple of minutes just for tomorrow just to finish up. But, so I don't want to leave it lagging. But there are two Gemaras here. One is the Gemara here on Lamed Dalid Omud Aleph. One second. Am I wrong? Is it Lamed Aleph on the base? No. I'm sorry, it is Lamed Aleph on the base. Yeah, sorry. Two Sveikos. Shile Machtsamai. Right, let's say the guy, the shomer, wants to pay 50%, so he'll be entitled to 50% of the kefel. Can he do that, or does he have to pay the whole amount? Ah. Then comes shol, shtei paros, the shilem achas mehen. Right? He borrowed two oxes, so it's a full kefel, but for one of the oxen. Ah. So that's a mai. You can see what's going on here in the Gemara, right? They're really testing this. And then Sho'al min ha-shutfin. So one shomer, two owners, right? The shilem le'echad mehem. My, what's the din there? How much, what did he give the echad mehem? A whole, the whole? Or half? Right? So that's a whole discussion. Rashi says, "Shim le'achem hem chelko chatzi dameha she'alav ma'u liknos chelko hamagio mi'aminim kol ha'keren shelo shilein oduma bi'inanat shishalem kol ha'para." So this becomes part of the discussion. Is he really? Is it really true that shilem kol masha alav if he pays half? Doesn't the Yerushalmi say that he's an arev on the whole thing? So if it means that he really has to pay the whole thing, because every shutaf is liable, not just liable, every shutaf is a shutaf in the whole, right? Then when he paid half, he didn't do enough. You know, conceptually, maybe pragmatically he did, because lemaisa, I mean, you know, they're going to break it up, but you know, that's the question. Maybe even if he paid the whole, there should be a suffek, right? But this is the question regarding Rashi that they have a debate about. And then shutfim sheshalu v'shileim echad mehem bai. Right? You have two shutfim, and one of them pays. Right. So that's one group of questions. And then on Tzadi, anybody see Tzadi Vav? I definitely told you to look at these things, right? No? Sure?
Sure, I might ask
now. Oh, really? I thought I said Tzadi Vav and Lamed Aleph.
Probably
not. Oh, okay. Then I definitely said Russian in Obetzi.
Yeah,
Russian.
I just didn't have time to see the things
about. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I said it. I mean, I remember saying it. But okay. So what is Tzadi Vav and Aleph? Balabimo. Okay? Shol shtei paros lasos mem pruta mahu. He borrows from Shutfim, and one of the Shutfim is Bala Bimo, but not the second one. Right? Kulo Bala Biinan Vahaleka, Odilma Mayu Palga Dide, Mia Miftar. That's so interesting. This, unlike the other Gemara, here the Gemara is suggesting explicitly half, right? Shutfim shesha'alu, the other case, v'nishal le'echa me'en mahu, kulo shoel bi'inan v'leka, odilma, is that really true? Right? Odilma bahu palga d'shayla mi'as miftar. So the Rishonim link this Yerushalmi here in Shavuos and the sugyas in Amafkid, and some of them also link the sugyas in Hashoah. Okay, so we'll talk a little bit briefly tomorrow. But the point is, with these three models, namely, kol echad is really chayiv chetzi and the rest is just arvos, or kol echad is chayiv akol, right? Or it's not really kol echad chayiv akol either, it's really mibein shneihem chayiv hakol. Right? It should be very relevant to these issues. But the question is, I mean, these three perspectives are relevant to all three of these cases and many, many more cases, obviously. The question is whether or not, as I said before, default, it's totally fair, you know, to start off assuming that, you know, the Tobea and the Nitva or the particular transaction, you know, is irrelevant and that these are mutually exclusive, you know, perspectives. But once the evidence in reconstructing leads us, you know, to other conclusions, right? Namely, that some things just don't fit or work. It is very reasonable, you know, to challenge these two big points. Namely, it could be that there's more than one din in Shutfis, although, you know, the prior aspect of them, you know, is still something to weigh, right? And then, you know, the applications become important. Both Tovea versus Nitva, right? The Mechuyev and the person you're Mechuyev to. There might be a difference in how, you know, collectivity, you know, works in all these three options between one direction and the other. And certainly you also might be Mechalek between different transactions. In other words, Shutfus in Kinyan and Shutfus in Halva and Shutfus in Shomrim. Never mind in all sorts of other issues. And what's a din of shutta for this week's parsha? Tzitzis. And what's a din of shutta for, you know, you know, millions of dinim, lachem, and for bal yirah, and you know, and so on and so on, and for meiser, you know, behema, and there are just millions of cases, not millions, but there are numerous cases of shuddas. So that this is the question that comes up, and this is a very important. This Rishalmi is very, very much discussed in all of these issues. And the basic debate between the Ramban on the one hand and the Ravi Abad and the Rajba and the Ritva on the side of the, you know, Shutav's rights to claim, and on the other side the debate about what we mean when we say Shutfim Shalavu or Akrayin Zelazeh is really a very, very big piece of the discussion. Okay, so we'll talk a little bit more about it, and then I still want to say something more, and then mostly tomorrow we'll get back to I think we're up to Kolashon and Lashon HaKodesh, and a little bit, again, the question of Geirus and those things very quickly, and then start Rav Shmuel, and then I want to do, I say, a few other cases, Mavin Shmuel, Rav Yisrael Drabanan, and Shtabit Lomarticha, if we can still get those. People are still around, right? Sounds like it. Yeah? Okay. Good. I've got to run, because I have to meet somebody, and then I've got to...